Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 75 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gilataka. This episode brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. So thanks, everybody over at Vortex Canada, for continuing to support the podcast. Today on the show, I'll have Tracy Wilson on to provide a little bit of commentary for us to discuss a few things going on, and then she's got some announcements as well. Always tons of stuff going on at the CCFR. And just before that, I'm going to give you a couple of updates and a little bit of commentary of my own. So let's get started. So the first thing I want to chat about are some CCFR projects. The first one, a one-hour documentary special premiering on Sportsman Channel on September the 7th called Broken Trust. So, I mentioned before that we were doing this one-hour special on Sportsman Channel. Again, it's coming up in just over a week. If you've got Sportsman Channel, that's great. You can watch it on there. You can watch Canada Downrange on there as well. Or you can just hold tight, and on September the 8th, Broken Trust will be uploaded to the CCFR YouTube channel. So if you're not a subscriber of the CCFR YouTube channel, go there and subscribe. There's more Canadian firearm-related content than has ever been ever so on that channel, right? We've got just a ton of stuff. The first television show, season one and two, in Canadian history to feature target shooting, right? To be entirely about target shooting. We've got documentary stuff on there. We've got the specials we did with Wild TV on there. We've got the explainer videos. We've got update videos. We've got all kinds of stuff, political videos. Go there, check it out. Make sure that you share that content, right? You know, the CCFR as a team of people have worked really, really hard to do things that no one has ever attempted to do on behalf of gun owners. We don't just talk the talk. Like, we work our butts off every single day trying to create more content and more material for all of us to fight as a community. So our job is to create that stuff and spread that stuff as far as we can, but it's also your job to grab it and spread it on your own social media platforms and make sure that people that you know that need to see the stuff that we produce see it, right? That's your job. So it's interesting. Sometimes it's like, well, you know, you're putting something on Sportsman Channel, you're just preaching the converted. What's that supposed to do? And it's like, man, you're the one that's supposed to do that extra work and get people that really need that information to watch that stuff. I can't do it for you, right? So really important that you remember that there's an active role that you can play in advocating for your own ability to own and use firearms, right? So when Broken Trust comes out on the 8th online, make sure that you copy the link and start sending it to people that you know. Really important for them to see what's going on. Then, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I know it's been 3 weeks, but hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm repeating myself then. But as I mentioned, we've got Gun Ban Canada Exposed coming up. So I'm working currently with the team over at Wild TV to produce episode one, which is going to be about whether or not the gun ban is really about safety, which is going to be a really interesting episode. So I would say I don't have a release date for that, but I would say probably another maybe month, and you'll see episode one, and there'll be one new episode coming out. They're only half an hour, 22 minutes of content, but there'll be an episode coming out each month for 4 months to start. And, you know, if it meets my expectations and everyone's happy with it and it's good information and it's worthwhile, because it's a lot of effort to make these things. That's why no one's ever even tried before, because it takes it's a lot of work, man. Even for the results that we do get. And I always want things to be better than they are, but anyway, if this is as good as I think it will be, then we might even, you know, cut a deal to do even more, maybe another four episodes, because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of misdirection. The government misleads people regarding gun control on a daily basis. So, you know, somebody has to expose that. And you know what? The likes of the Fifth Estate and W5 and all these shows and the news, and the mainstream media will never, ever show you the real story. So it's up to us to make our own media, and we need your help to do it. So anyway, September 7th on Sportsman Channel, or September 8th for Broken Trust. There's also, if you go to the YouTube channel, there's a trailer for Broken Trust there. You can check that out as well. Okay, the only other thing I want to talk about real quick, and just really, I don't know, kind of explore this a little bit and just get your minds thinking about this is the Integrity March that's coming up. So this is a really big project. There's a reason why no gun group has ever tried this since the, you know, since the early, well, I think 1998 was the last one, right? So a long time ago, right? 25 years ago. There's a reason, because these, I mean, some people might think of them as a protest. I don't like to think of it that way. We're doing a march. Because protests, they have a lot of risks. Marches, not so many. But there's a reason. It's a lot of work, and to do it right, it's a lot of work. So we've done a lot, you know, we've done a lot of things wrong. So we're really putting a lot of effort to making sure that we've taken care of everything, we've thought of everything that we possibly, we're controlling every variable that we possibly can, and that we're doing things right. But here's the reason why I really need you to show up. And when I say you, I'm really talking about people that are local or a 1 or 2 hour drive to Ottawa. If you're local, I really need you to show up to this thing. You can, you know, we're encouraging you to wear a mask. Forget the debate over masks. It's not about the debate over masks. It's about, this is a public relations exercise. Okay. So, you know, you can bring a mask, you got hand sanitizer there. If you don't have a mask, we will have boxes and boxes of them there for those that want them that don't have them. And just march with us. You know, it might take you an hour to drive there, you know, half an hour to park, an hour to drive home. Okay. And the march itself is probably 30 minutes. Okay. It's really 2 or 3 hours. If you're local out of your life, come down. I need at least 1,000 people there. I need you there. I need at least 1,000 because we're going to have a film crew there, a 3-camera shoot. It's the reason why I need that footage. There's a bunch of reasons. I can't really chat about all of them, but they're for other projects. And you'll see what the reason why I need that footage probably later. You'll be like, okay, that's why. And you know, our crew will be there doing interviews of people in the crowd, like you, basically showing up. If you want to have something to say, you can say it to our camera crew. And we need a big presence because I need that footage. So, and also, you know, that's not the only reason, but we want government to understand that this is something that's important to Canadians. It's important to us as a community. Like, it's not a joke. Taking our property away because somebody's dressed up as an RCMP shooting our fellow citizens in Nova Scotia, or gangbangers shooting each other in downtown Toronto, you know, that is not a justification to take my property away from me or to vilify me. And that's exactly what's happening. It's not right. And it's going to be resisted right to the last minute. By us and hopefully by everyone in our community. So we have to let the government know this is not a joke. We're not political pawns, and we will take 2 or 3 hours out of our lives to come and just show that we have a presence. You know, let me give you just a sneak peek. You know, think of the Doctors for Protection from Guns, the spin docs, as I like to call them. The spin doctors did a National Day of Action. And in their strongest showings were in Toronto and Montreal, because these are the epicenters of gun control and other insanity in Canada, right? They kind of tend to congregate in those areas for whatever reason. And if you look at that, I mean, I think in Toronto, they maybe had, I don't know, 60 people. In Montreal, maybe they had like 100. And then they had, you know, this is a National Day of Action. So they had events across the country. And you know, the much maligned PR guy for the spin docs, you know, he was bragging on their Twitter feed that they had something like 90 mainstream media appearances talking about their promoting their National Day of Action. I mean, they were even on television. And you know what? Outside of Toronto, that poor showing they had in Toronto and the poor showing they had in Montreal, in like Halifax or someplace, they had like 2 people standing at a folding table. Okay. In Calgary, they had like 4 people standing outside with some homemade signs. Okay. This is how important gun control really is to Canadians. Canadians, by and large, really don't care about it, you know, and they certainly don't care enough to take all the effort required to go sign a petition, right? To bring themselves to, oh, I gotta find the website. I gotta put in my information, then click sign and then wait for a confirmation email to come back and then click that button. There's no way I'm willing to do that for gun control. And you know what? It shows. You know, I'm talking about this with Tracy in a minute. The Big E petition, the largest one, is closing in a few days. So, you know, we want to get people signing that. But if you look at the poor showing for the National Days of Action, the you know, the absolute inability to get petitions signed, anti-gun petitions, and yet the firearms community, we can get 230,000 signatures on a petition, you know, and like the top four petitions in e-petition history are all gun petitions, pro-gun. Okay, so we got to keep up the pressure. This whole thing about 80% of Canadians want a ban on all guns and whatever, it's lies. It's just pure propaganda. And that stuff, the real reality really proves that. So we need you to participate in these things. So I need that footage for a variety of reasons. Now, some of the blanks are, you're filling in the blanks in your own mind why I need it. And I've got other projects as well that I need it for. So again, if you're local, please show up, get a couple of your buddies, or just go in your car by yourself if you need to. Show up, wear a mask. We have signs for you. We have a free gift for you if you show up. It's going to be awesome. Meet your other gun owners and just make your voice heard, okay? Because it's, you know, we can't be ignored forever. All right. And the last thing I want to say about that is your gun club. If your gun club has made an announcement about the march, great. If they haven't, asked them why, really push them on this. We really need the clubs to respond. Now, some clubs, when it comes to fundraising, we have a lot of clubs. I'm going to say we probably have 25 clubs that have given us money, maybe 30 tops that have given us money to help support our court case, which is the biggest one in Canadian history on behalf of gun owners, bar none. And it's getting bigger all the time. You know, it's funny because some of the other people involved in the other cases have been throwing rocks at our case saying it's too big. It's like, well, somebody had to stand up and do that work, right? We've been waiting for all these groups to do this work and nobody's ever done it. Well, we're actually doing it. So we definitely need the help. So if you're a member of a gun club, they haven't given anything to the CCFR, they haven't provided support, whether it's spreading our information through their email list or their online accounts or donating or promoting the Integrity March, please, as a member of your club, ask the executive why they're not doing that. Because when we lose all our guns, especially the handguns and the restricted firearms, there are no more clubs. There won't be any revenue for the clubs, you know? So anyway, they should be supporting us out of just pure self-preservation, if nothing else. So anyway, if you can do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. And as long as we continue to get support, we can continue to crank out projects every stinking 2 weeks, every month. And you guys know that. If you followed us from some time, we're not talking about doing heavy lifting or talking about working quietly behind the scenes. We are working, cranking out work every couple of weeks you see something from us. So anyway, all of your help is greatly appreciated. All right. I've done enough talking. We're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to have Tracy Wilson from the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. Hey, everybody. This is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. Wilson.
Gildaka!
I don't know, man. I'm tired. How anticlimactic was that?
Yeah, no
anyway,
kidding.
Anyway, boo-hoo, I'm tired. All right, we got a lot of stuff to cover, so we better get right into it.
What's going on?
All right, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is the Integrity March Survival Guide. It's being released.
Yes, this is true. So we've got this survival guide we put together. You know, it's about 5 pages long. It's sort of like your little Bible that you can review before you come to the march or on your way to the march. It's got all your questions answered. So that should be up live by the time you are listening to this, hopefully. And inside that, you're going to find all kinds of great information. There's information about the march itself, the logistics for where we're going, how long it's going to take, how many kilometers it is, informations on what to wear, what kind of security is going to be there, what you need to bring, where to park, what to do if you spot trouble, what to say to the media, some COVID information there for those of you concerned about your health. Basically, we've answered every possible question. So that should be out hopefully by the time you're listening to this. And of course, if there are any questions or anything else that you need to know, you can always reach out to us at march@firearmrights.ca and we'll be happy to answer anything that we may have missed.
Yeah, the survival guide, when you read it, you know, you'll see, you know, to what detail we plan this whole thing. It's very, very highly detailed so that we're leaving very little chance and hopefully we won't have any issues and we'll get what we need out of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's looking great. And I know it's hard on a Saturday afternoon in the early fall. It's hard for people, you know, to get up and do these kinds of things. I understand. I know sometimes the last thing I want to do is more gun stuff, right? But I'm putting out a personal plea to everybody listening that if you're in within driving distance at all possible of making it here, even if it's a bit of a drive, we're hoping for beautiful weather. Ottawa is a great town. This event itself shouldn't take a heck of a lot of time. So you can come to the event, come march with us, you know, take your wife or your hubby out for dinner after. Ottawa is a beautiful city. There's some great deals, especially at the Delta downtown. You can stay for $99. Like, just make every possible effort to come out. We really need this to be successful and to have a lot of people. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit of a flop. And I don't know that we'll be able to do this again. So if you want to march, this is it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then also moving on to the next thing is we are launching a campaign with Bell Media to both to support the march and also to for people to raise awareness about what we're doing, you know, to defend our right to own and use firearms.
That's right. So we're launching with Bell Media. It'll be we'll have commercials on the radio on CFRA, which is the big talk show. It's the big political talk show here in Ottawa. So basically it's news and talk 24 hours a day. Brian Lilly was a host on there for, over a decade. It's a great show. You can listen to it on the iHeartRadio service. Airs all across the country. And of course on TSN Sports, it'll also be playing. So you can watch for those coming up. They're going to be great little commercials, just helping the public be aware of what Justin Trudeau is doing to address crime, which is absolutely nothing but target the people, but target the people who are not committing it. So, yeah.
I don't know.
We're in crazy times.
Help people understand what he's doing to address crime, which is he's not.
He's not. Yeah. No. So a lot of people, I know when they say, well, do you really even need those rifles? Just use other rifles. They're completely missing the point. You know, that in itself is a debate we can have one day. However, as a mom and a grandma and somebody who's very concerned about the rising violent crime in cities and even in rural communities across the country, I think it's imperative. Aside from being a gun lobby, we're all parents, we're all community members, we're volunteers within our communities. And I really need other Canadians to understand that Justin Trudeau has completely failed to address the violence in our communities. So yeah, watch for those commercials. We'll listen for them on the radio, and they'll also have some a little bit of online media with that as well.
Yeah, there's a digital component to all that stuff, so you'll see that countrywide.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Next on the agenda, we're going to talk about the petition is closing, the big one.
Yeah, so MP Michelle Rempel from Calgary had launched this petition a while back. It will close for signatures on September 1st. I know we've been pushing it around. It's, you know, you almost feel like it's getting old. But judging by the amount of signatures it's got, which, granted, it is the most signed parliamentary e-petition in Canadian history, but it's still sitting at, I think, 230-some thousand signatures on there. So, you know, this is to oppose, excuse me, the undemocratic way in which Justin Trudeau has banned our firearms here in Canada. So you would think with over 2 million gun owners, excuse me, you'd think that we'd have a little bit better turnout on that. So, you know, I know it's it kind of gets old talking about it, but if you can go to www.restoredemocracy.ca, you can add your name to that petition. It's not too late. We've got a couple days left to go. Push it around on your social media. Email it to your friends and family. You know, if you're talking to people over the weekend, you know, maybe pull it up on your phone and get them to sign it too. Let's give it one more last solid push. I'd love to see it, you know, at least hit 250,000 signatures. I think that would just be fantastic. So, and a big thanks to MP Rempel for sticking her neck out on that. So,
yeah, it did very well. I mean, it's 230,266.
Yeah.
So I want to see at least 4 to 5 more people sign this by the time it expires. We got to get it over from 66 to 75 at least.
Yeah, we've got to do a little better at these things. Well, and I know people say, well, the petition doesn't do anything. And will the petition stop a gun ban? Of course not. That is not the point of it. The point of it is to have an official record of opposition to the actions of this government. It'll be read into the House of Commons. It'll be read into the Hansard. It'll be a permanent record. And of course, the government is responsible to provide an official response to it. So we'll have that material as well. So it's a little bit of an exercise in politics, as well as just another tool in our toolbox that we can use to officially oppose these kinds of measures. So, yeah, no, it won't stop the gun ban, but yes, it helps with the overall national opposition to punitive measures like gun bans.
Yeah, it helps in our PR battle, and especially, and I probably said this before, so I apologize if you guys have heard this before. But those petitions are actually really important to people like me and the stuff that I do. So I have to, you know, my job at the CCFR, among other things, is to create, you know, educational material, right? So you got the anti-gunners running around telling everybody 80% of Canadians agree to, you know, we need to ban handguns and all the rest of that stuff. You know, poll after poll, well, these polls talk to 1,000 people, and these are people that typically are on the rolls of the pollster.
Right.
You know, they're not random people. So, you know, it's almost like their own focus group. So I don't want a focus group speaking for me. And it's funny because all of the anti-gun petitions, the biggest one ever got, 20,000 signatures. And I mean, like I said, you've heard this before, but it was advertised on buses and bus benches for free from Toronto City Council. Mm-hmm. Nice group of people. And it was, those bus bench things, also in Cineplex Odeon theaters, all that stuff. And they couldn't break 21,000 signatures, but they're confident that 80% of Canadians are with them. Right. So, you know, if I didn't have these petitions, I got nothing. So, you know, whether or not you think that they're important, it takes almost no effort to go and sign it and to get everybody else in your house to sign it and all your friends to sign it and tell your gun club that they have to put a social media post out there or do a mass email to tell all their members and their families that they have to sign it. We need to do something remarkable to get noticed, and that's what I need those things for.
Perfect.
You go. But the big news was the leadership race has finally come to an end.
Well, and finally, by finally, you mean like hours and hours and hours of waiting for results. I know I hosted a group of our Team Ottawa CCFR field officers over here at my house, and we had it on. And, you know, of course, there was a little bit of a delay and then a longer delay. And I had a big spread of food out and some of the wine Colin and I have made. And, you know, we had all the stuff out. And anyways, everybody stayed as long as they possibly could. But with work the next morning, of course, most conservatives, as you know, have to be at work in the morning. So everybody ended up leaving before we got the results. But I stayed up with the puppy on the couch, and we did get the results. And of course, as everyone is aware, it is Erin O'Toole from Durham Region who won leadership. So, yeah, so it's great. Erin's got a fantastic firearms platform. You can find the town hall video that we did with Erin just prior to leadership, like during the race. You can find it on our YouTube channel. And of course, I've shared it out again onto all the social media channels just to remind everybody where he was at on that. And funny enough, actually, yesterday I got a piece of mail. This is just a side little neat story of interest. Summer went out to check the mail yesterday, and she came back, and there was a nice envelope there. And we opened the envelope, and inside was like this beautiful folder from the House of Commons, like a hardcover folder. And I opened it up, and it was anniversary greetings to my parents on their 55th wedding anniversary, which they just recently celebrated this summer. Now, of course, Erin is an RCAF, an Air Force veteran, just like my dad. So he saw that I had posted on Twitter, you know, some anniversary wishes to my dad. It was bittersweet because, of course, it was during the COVID lockdown. So we weren't able to celebrate it with my dad. And Erin sent those little wishes along with a great card from his foundation that helps vets recover from PTSD. So anyways, yeah, he sent this great little thing over. And I thought, you know, what a classy move. It has nothing to do really with the CCFR or the gun file or leadership. It's just, he's just reaching out to try and brighten someone's day. And I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool. Little personal story.
Yeah, that's totally cool. When it comes to the leadership race and the results, you know, it's interesting. I think every year or every time this happens, people are like, oh, you know, this is probably the most divisive campaign ever, you know, even within the Conservative Party or even within other parties. It just keeps getting more divisive because I think it's because the stakes have been, you know, increasing. The stakes are raised every year in the world right now about, right, you know, political change, right? Because everything's so extreme. So there's been a lot of disagreement, and some people are overjoyed and some people are absolutely disenchanted and, you know, deflated about their guy didn't win. You know, we're in very desperate times, and regardless of whether your favorite won or not, the CCFR didn't endorse anyone, didn't choose a favorite. I didn't as an individual. I know you didn't, because that's not our role. But you know, Erin O'Toole won the leadership race. Now we have to just rally behind him. And, you know, the conservatives, for better or worse, are the only game in town. So we got to focus on the election whenever that happens and getting Justin Trudeau nowhere near the levers of power. So anyway, absolutely, whether or not that's going to make you happy, that's our mandate right now is to get him out of power.
Yeah. And I mean, regardless, you're right. This was a pretty divisive race. I mean, the last one, I think, had 13 or 14 candidates, and it was just all over the place. It was just so much information. Well, this one, I was happy to see that there were only four final candidates because it narrows it down a little bit. But the problem is people hunker down in their camps and just defend it so fiercely that it causes all this turmoil between conservatives. At the end of the day, we are all on the same team. So I personally couldn't be happier that it's over. I congratulate Erin. You know, people have asked me what I thought. Erin is probably, in my personal opinion, the most qualified. He's an Air Force veteran, as I mentioned. He's also a lawyer. He's got lots of corporate experience. I think he's very well-rounded, and he's, you know, there's an article I was reading actually earlier, and it just said his basic decency is what attracts people to him. And I think that's right. He doesn't have a flashy name. He's not famous like a Justin Trudeau, but he's just a basic, decent guy. You know, he's just very well-rounded that way. So yeah, I look forward to working with Aaron and seeing where we go from here. And I think that people maybe have underestimated him. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't see Justin Trudeau standing toe to toe in a debate with Aaron.
Now,
you know, like, I mean, I obviously I have my own opinions, and I will say this for Aaron is that he does not give non-answers. And I said that, that's one thing I definitely like about Aaron is that he will answer any question and he'll give you an actual answer. Mm-hmm. Now, not every question you can do that because of a variety of things. Like even Pierre Poilievre, every once in a while, will just stick to his talking point because he doesn't want to undermine something he's going to do later. So sometimes it's unavoidable. Like I will do that sometimes because I can't tell people everything that they want to know when they want to know it. Right.
Right.
But for basic stuff, you should absolutely be able to answer a simple stinking question, right? Especially about policy or things that aren't secret or require you to withhold information. But every answer that Trudeau ever, every question he ever answers is a non-answer of sorts.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, absolutely. Aaron knows how to think on his feet and answer a simple question. And yeah. That's something that Trudeau can't do. So I can't wait to see them in a debate.
Yeah, and he's very confident without being cocky, right? And I think that's very important. You're right. He thinks quick on his feet. He, you know, spits out an answer that is an actual answer with information within it. And it sounds good and it's well put together. So, yeah, I can't wait to see them go head to head, actually. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And the untold story of this whole leadership race, too, is, of course, Leslyn Lewis, who sort of, you know, snuck out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know that anyone had ever really heard of her before the leadership race. And she just became a star candidate. In fact, she, on the second ballot, she did better than anybody. Now, it wasn't enough for her to win. So she was knocked off on the third ballot. But a lot of Aaron's success in that last round is due to Leslyn's votes. Once she was knocked out, of course, her votes get recounted and go to whoever had Aaron as their choice, right? So, yeah, it was very interesting, and I'm excited to see what Leslyn does in the future. There's some information coming out that she has agreed to officially run in the next federal election, whenever that is. So I'm excited to see her come up through the ranks. And I think she's got a promising future in politics. So,
yeah. I think she'd be great. She's a smart lady.
She sure is.
Yeah. And, you know, there's like politics is a trade in itself, and it takes a few years to get the hang of how that all works.
Yeah. So
I think she's, you know, the one thing it's like, you know, I've had some successes in my life, and I've had some pretty, pretty phenomenal failures too, but I always learned a lot more from my failures than I did with my successes. You always learn a lot more. So even though sometimes it hurts not to win, it's like you walk away with knowledge that nobody else has, you know, because they weren't in your shoes. But anyway, mm-hmm. All right, we got to keep going. What do we have next? Some Twitter user donations.
Yeah, so this was crazy. There was a tweet that you and I were both tagged in it. From a guy on Twitter named Krusty Canadian. I love his name. I don't blame him for being crusty. Things are a little crusty lately. So he's Concerned Canadian at Krusty Canadian 1. And this guy's great. He's been a great supporter of the CCFR. He's been retweeting lots of our material and our content. So he put up a call and he says, I have a call to all Canadians that care about their rights and freedoms within Canada. For every retweet I get on this post, I will donate $100 or $1 to the CCFR. I got to max it out at $1,500, but I urge you all to do the same within your budget. And then he tagged the two of us. So basically, he says, if I can get 1,500 retweets on this, I'll donate $1,500, right? So, of course, I shared it, and I thought, well, this is great. He actually, it's standing, I'm looking at it right now. He's at, I think, 1,174 retweets, but he went ahead and donated the $1,500 to the CCFR in any event, you know, regardless, because it's a great cause. He was really happy to engage with everyone. It was a lot of fun. So then we had this other guy named Jackfish on Twitter. I had never heard of him, but I followed him immediately. And he was so inspired by concerned Canadians' actions that he turned around and donated a full $2,000 to the CCFR legal challenge, just out of inspiration from that. So that's amazing. When you think about that, just in one short afternoon, you've got two of our Twitter followers, and between the two of them, they've donated $3,500 to the fight, which of course benefits all of us. So big thanks to Concerned Canadian and Jack Fish for their awesome support. And that's the Twitter can be an absolute toilet, but every once in a while, it is amazing. And this is one of those moments for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And we're so appreciative. And of course, Twitter, it never does disappoint, because some guys, you know, he's like, oh yeah, right, this looks fake. It's like, no,
yeah.
No, I assure you it's not fake, because I think he posted his donation, the receipt for his donation online. And you know what? Funny, oddly enough, I had made that video. I don't think I talked about it on a podcast, but I made that video of of Justin, the guy that donated $5,000 to the CCFR, and he was a Liberal voter that lives in downtown Toronto and has seen the light.
Yeah.
And I posted that, you know, his voice message, and some guy's like, does this sound fake to anyone else? And I was like,
oh God.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Justin for probably 35 minutes when I finally got a hold of him. And, you know, and he had a very familiar story of, like, you know, my thoughts on gun control has changed. And also my thoughts on, and I'm not going to say liberalism, because the Liberal Party, it's not your father's Liberal Party. It's not the Liberal Party that I voted for in my 30s. This is a completely different group of people and a completely different ideology. And anyway, I faced the same thing when I started to change the way I looked at, you know, what will work and what won't. And he's going through that right now. But, again, long story short, there's a guy that donated $5,000. No matter how much money you have, that's a big donation, man.
Well, yeah, just to hand it over, like, that's it. Here you go. I mean,
and we'll make great use of that money too.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We've got an upcoming event, actually. So for you guys out in the West, we've got a fantastic event coming up in Calgary on September 5th. And this is the 4th annual Beretta Days over at the Calgary Shooting Center. So Calgary Shooting Center is a great supporter of the CCFR. They do this event every year. They've got all kinds of cool representatives coming from Benelli, Tika, Seiko, Burris, Diner. They're all going to be there. This is a fun event. There'll be, you know, draws and raffles, guns to try, all kinds of goodies. There'll be loot bags handed out at the door, and the entire thing is a charity event in support of the CCFR and our legal fight. So head on over to Calgary Shooting Center, September 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time for 4th annual Beretta Days.
That's phenomenal. And I can't thank them enough for that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Just fantastic. All right. And we've got, do you want to talk about the calendar? Real quick.
Yeah. So as you guys know, every year, the women's program, we all get together. We round up a bunch of great Canadian lady gun owners. And we started doing this new thing where we make it sort of a retreat weekend. Because as you know, photo shoots are very time consuming. They're difficult. And when you're trying to do them with a group of girls, you know, it's not something you can just do in an afternoon. So for the second year running, we've rented a venue. We've actually got this really cool refurbished Gothic church here in Ontario that we've rented. It's almost like a mansion. There's a moat around it. It's pretty cool. I got an awesome deal on it from the owners, big supporters. So we're going to go out there. We've got some locations in the area to go and do our photo shoot. So keep an eye open. This should be the best calendar yet. We've got all new girls in this year's calendar. This is a great time for females in the shooting, in the shooting community. We've never met most of these girls. So we'll be meeting each other for the first time. We're going to spend the weekend together, do all kinds of great, fun photo shoots, and enjoy some food and some good times, and come out with a product that helps us raise money to continue our ladies' range days right across the country. So we're running an average of 400 to 700 women a year through our ladies' range days. right across the country. Now, of course, this year is a little bit different with COVID. Nevertheless, hopefully next year is a great year and we'll be in a good position to help fund these range days. The more women we can get out there, introduced to the sport, whether or not they become gun owners, at least they'll stop supporting bad liberal policy, right? So that's kind of the idea here. So yeah, that's coming up this weekend. I leave tomorrow around noon. I'm really excited to greet the girls and just get to work with them.
So. Right. And not everybody may know what the deal is with the calendar. The calendar itself is a lottery ticket.
Yeah, it's really cool. So when you purchase this calendar, it's affordable. I think we run them for $20 or $25 in the online store. So the new one will be out closer to Christmas. We put the calendar up. It's a great calendar full of beautiful girls and they're really cool guns. These are authentic Canadian gun owners. You know, we don't hire supermodels. These are everyday girls who shoot cowboy or Ipsic or hunters or whatever. You know, they all get together. We do this calendar. And then the calendar itself has a registration number on the back. You go to ccfrcalendar.com, you register your calendar, and then all throughout the year, we draw prizes that are donated by our amazing sponsors. So, you get a cool calendar full of awesome Canadian girls and their funky guns, and then you also have the opportunity to win all year long. And even if you win once, you do have the opportunity to keep winning all year. So it's a great project for everybody because the women's division is able to raise funds. The sponsors are able to get their name brand out there and the people purchasing it have the opportunity to not only support the women's program, but win cool stuff. And who doesn't want to win?
Yeah, you're doing all that. And it is your ticket to free draws for an entire year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. The last thing we had on our list was how to get more people to show up at the march that is on September the 12th.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said earlier, it is difficult to give up some of your personal time to come out to these, but this isn't something we're going to be doing often or even possibly ever again. So we really need everybody to get out. There's some great information available to either ranges, clubs, or organizations that are looking to possibly hire a bus. You know, maybe get together, split on the cost of a bus. Then you got one person driving. You can all come down together. We'll be providing everything, of course, from signs to PPE for COVID concerns, security, everything. Everything else taken care of. You just got to get yourself down here. So if you'd like some information about how to organize a bus trip, you can send us an email at march@firearmrights.ca and we'll get that information over to you. This weekend, if you're out at the range or over at your buddies or just on social media talking to people, it's vital that we share this around. And even if you can't come, you know, maybe it's, I know it's crop season out in the West. I've heard that from a lot of the farmers that they just aren't able to come because of that. It's their one time of year where they're making their income for the entire year. And I understand that. But what I do ask is still share the event out onto your social media channels, because maybe someone that is a follower or a friend of you on social media may see it who otherwise wouldn't have known. So do your part, share it out, try and come if you can at all come. It's going to be absolutely epic and it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, I'll have goodies that I'll be handing out. So you can't get one if you don't come. So make sure you come down. It's my hometown and I'm looking forward to hosting everybody.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for the update. And we will see you next time.
All right. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for episode 75. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast. Make sure that you share this podcast and spread it around and talk about what the CCFR is doing. Because that gets people involved. You know, I'm always amazed that I run into people. It's like, oh, I've never heard of you guys. And it's like, okay. So because the CCFR is only 5 years old, you know, there are still people out there that have not heard about us and heard about all the work that we do. So make sure you spread the links, make sure you talk to people, come to the march if you can. I'm not expecting people to drive 6 hours or to fly from across the country to go to the march. You know, I it's great that some people are doing it. I'm doing it myself. But I, you know, what I'd really like is for all the people that are local to come out, because it's not so much of a burden for you to do that. So if you can get a little posse together, five, six people that you know from the gun club, if you can talk to your gun club and get them to share our information about the march, we'd really, really appreciate it. The more people that we have marching, you know, in a reasonable distance from each other, which actually makes things look even bigger than they are, which is awesome, the better and the more useful that is to us. Okay, so make sure you sign the petition. Go to restoredemocracy.ca. That's a link to the petition. Make sure you come out for the march if you can't. Do some social justice on behalf of gun owners. Spread those links around. Engage in a few conversations. But whenever you see something on Twitter from Tracy or I or the CCFR, make sure you retweet it. Add a comment of your own. Spread it around. Same thing on Facebook and on Instagram. All right, everybody, thanks so much for your support. I really appreciate it. If I don't have another podcast for you before the march, hopefully I will see you there. Take care, and we'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.